For our Labor Day special, we are joined on the Old Mole with Joe Clement. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Norm.
And happy Labor Day to you.
Happy Labor Day to you.
Joe is not only a member of the Old Mole, and you've heard, of course, on this program many, many times, but is a union member and a worker at Multnomah County Library. Very interesting struggle there at the library. Joe, walk us through. What are the high points?
Well, as many of the listeners may know, the library has proposed layoffs over the summer, and those layoffs are unjustifiable on a number of grounds. The layoffs are supposed to be based off of social distancing constraints, and in part, they use the phrase stewardship of public money and the fact that a number of staff have been on paid administrative leave because of children or because of their health risks or their family health risks. What makes this all so suspect is the fact that we are not in a budget crisis. The budget for the library with the staff that are now being cut was passed at the end of June. And the cuts come at a time when the library is gearing up to promote a bond on the November ballot, a capital bond, a bond to raise $387 million to build new libraries and renovate several others and also bring automation to the libraries. And so the question of fiscal responsibility and the assumption that because lots of other government agencies are facing budget cuts because of revenue shortfalls, that the library is no different than that. But there are actually particulars about the library situation that make layoffs or cuts to staff and services quite unconscionable in this moment.
That's worth emphasizing, isn't it, Joe, that normally when we hear about layoffs, it's because there's a shortage, or at least management claims that they lack funds somehow, or they lack revenue. That's not the case with the library system. They are flush with money and yet are laying off workers. My neighborhood, there are flyers up on behalf of library workers. What's been the response by the workers who are members of the union? This is worth emphasizing. They're members of Ask Me Local 88.
Yeah, the library workers have been organizing for mutual aid and self-defense, both of themselves as workers, but also for the communities that we serve, who are going to be impacted in very material ways by the cuts as well. And we have been communicating amongst ourselves to understand the situation and to identify our own solutions for it, many of which have been taken by management, but have not been taken in good faith. And the workers are making a point of telling the public what is happening with their resources, because management, and this includes the county commissioners, who will repeat management lines in their responses to emails written about this, reduce the library as a public service to its financial dimension. The emphasis on money is one way of expressing this, but it's also present in the way that they want to lower labor costs in order to use that money and money in the capital bond, should it pass, to invest in structures and technologies that will decrease labor overhead. It will not necessarily mean that the work is easier for us all, because they do not want to expand the workforce, but this is, I think, a difference that is important to understand, because the library is not just a collection of commodities, including workers as bought and sold commodities. We are a community and we provide services. And what the public enjoys from us is a direct set of relationships and a direct kind of service in the form of goods, educational, informational, cultural goods. The relationships and the educational support that library workers as workers of information provide, that this is not something that is simply bought and sold. And it's coming from the workers. It's not coming from the wages. It's not coming from whatever can be saved by laying off the workers, cutting positions. And
what are some concrete instances of how the public will be affected by layoffs?
Well, there will be fewer services like story time. There will be slower times, or you'll have longer waits for your holds because there'll be fewer staff to actually manage the physical process of finding a book, moving it from here to there so patrons can access it.
Well, it's workers that are going to be affected, of course, and the public, the workers themselves, those who are laid off, those who are sped up as a result of having fewer workers to provide services, and then the way you've talked about the consequences for the public. Let me ask a more specific question, and that has to do in this day and age and with our alertness to racism in this society. How about workers of color in particular?
It has been brought up in the media by BIPOC workers that these cuts are going to disproportionately affect them. And there are two ways of looking at this, one which management has been promoting and then one which the workers are promoting. Management wants to frame the disproportionate impact of their choice to make unnecessary cuts on BIPOC workers. They want to frame that in terms of seniority and in terms of just how the contract, the union contract, decides how these things happen. The workers see that because the cuts are unnecessary, that the root cause of this impact is not the way that seniority works, though the way that this seems to be the issue comes out of historic hiring patterns, which have meant that for generations, it was white folks who had the privilege of getting a job with the library. And in recent years, management has shifted. They have been, as they say, centering race and focusing on creating more positions for and hiring people of color, Black and Indigenous workers, although Indigenous workers do not have special protection, they have been used nonetheless by the library for their culture and knowledge in promoting library services to Indigenous communities. And because of those historic hiring practices, the seniority system ends up meaning that the cuts fall on those who have been hired more recently. But the fundamental issue is that the cuts are unnecessary, not that there is something wrong with how seniority works to create this disproportionate impact.
So again, and more specifically, there's a disproportionate impact to Black, Indigenous, and people of color workers, but also to communities that those workers serve. We're seeing consequences for management intentions, management practices across the board. Joe, tell us something more about then the response by workers, because this is in fact a fascinating instance of workers responding, coming up with alternatives on their own. I would not hesitate to call this an instance of worker self-organization.
The workers have been self-organizing, and it has been a not exactly leaderless movement, but it has been the kind of thing where leaders are organically stepping up, being validated by the trust and support of their coworkers around whatever initiative it is. And then as those initiatives rise, we connect them and we are able to build our capacity to communicate with the public, to digest the information that we are getting from management, but also that we are seeing in the public, because the public is being persuaded to not view this as the problem that it is. And we have been organizing ourselves to not be bowled over by these changes. We held a picket, which is a lawful and contractually permissible act, to inform the public, and in particular one of our commissioners at the Midland Library last Monday. It was a successful event that workers led and that we, you know, intend to do more of, because the claim in the media now is that the layoffs have been averted. Management has worked out a deal with the county to offer positions in the coronavirus pandemic response department that we call the Emergency Operations Center, positions in this center to otherwise laid off workers. And they're trying to say that they have averted laying off all of the workers, leaving out the fact that they are cutting positions from the library. They're cutting positions that exist as vacancies. They have incentivized, but by many accounts, emotionally coerced workers to take early retirement or voluntary layoffs. And the remaining workers who would be facing, you know, a layoff at the end of September have this chance to still technically have county employment. But that completely obfuscates the fact that the cuts still exist. There's only been a very modest handful of services that have been proposed to carve out the proposed cuts. And so we are going to continue organizing to fight these cuts, because the cuts are what are hurting the library and the community. The fact that some folks are not going to face immediate unemployment doesn't change the fact that they too have been traumatized by this whole process. And our work is to continue to build our political base, which is our community who we serve, and our fellow coworkers who are being impacted by this. And it's all of us, whether you got a cut or not. An injury to one is an injury to all. And it's being felt very widely throughout the library that we have to stand up together for each other, because they're trying to take us down in every classification.
Now, one aspect of that resistance, and unfortunately we're going to have to deal with this very briefly, is not only the community outreach that you've described and the self-organization, people pulling together, but actually taking on kind of what are normally management prerogatives, and that is thinking of alternative jobs that workers themselves, that is workers thinking of jobs that they could and should be doing.
Yeah, the workers have suggested dozens and dozens of ideas for programming. When the layoffs were announced, management allowed a committee to be formed in cooperation with the union, staffed by labor and management, to review these suggestions and make recommendations for new services that would ultimately mean fewer jobs cut. Some of these that have been moved to the forefront include assisting folks trying to find jobs or learn new job skills, assistance with folks, especially parents, who are managing home learning for their children or themselves, extending more virtual services to immigrant populations that rely on the library for gaining English skills, for navigating the process of acquiring citizenship, and for actually taking their oath and becoming official citizens.
Wonderful. I want to emphasize these are needs that workers themselves are seeing and are proposing to fill, as against management efforts just to lay people off.
And they would not exist. I want to emphasize that they would not exist by management's fiat. Management did not have a plan until workers were forcing them to take seriously their own plans.
Joe, thank you very much for talking with us. This is a struggle by library workers in Multnomah County. We will continue to follow. That was Joe Clement. This is Norm Diamond for the Old Mole Variety Hour. Joe, there's a question that we talked about too briefly, and that's the impact on workers of color within the library system and communities, Black, Indigenous, people of color. There have been some new developments, I think, around those issues and that struggle within the library workers vis-a-vis management. Tell us what's been going on.
The workers have been calling out management for engaging in practices that fall under the heading of white supremacy culture. That includes, you know, the you know, hierarchy in the first place, a kind of exclusionary communication styles, being very kind of arbitrary with time expectations, and just simply discounting the words of BIPOC workers who are saying this is having this harmful impact. One way that this is manifest is a system-wide email where coworkers were joining in solidarity with one another in reply all after reply all to ask management to rescind the cuts and to call out these elements of white supremacy culture that are on display in both the cuts, but then in management's own response to them, which has been basically a mixture of silence or saying sorry, but not sorry. Altogether, staff have been saying that this response has been toxic.
Then one thing we do want to mention then, again, is the website.
The website we have been working on for pretty much since the beginning. It's savelibrarystaff.org. It's a resource that we've created to spread information about what's really going on in the library. It has been a conduit for patron and other kinds of supporter participation. We have a petition. We have a wall of statements of support from famous figures like Cheryl Stray, author of the award-winning book that features some scenes in Portland called Wild. Noam Chomsky has written us a statement of support. Other famous authors, the guy who does the show Adam Ruins Everything has given us a statement of support, as well as our other appearances in the media. KBOO in particular has been a vital resource for this movement because it is the only media outlet in town that actually lets us tell our story on our own terms.
So once again, the website
is savelibrarystaff.org.
Thank you, Joe Clement.
Thank you.